Blog Talk Radio.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day that the moon somewhere will soon make a change. We all a part of God's great big family. And the truth, you know, love is all we need.
Thank you. I went to prison because I believed in men like Samuel. has been able to take lies and make you turn against them who want to help you and make others turn against you. This is the contributing to the delinquency of our minor that this man or man who calls himself a man is probably not. In the same article, he said that the Muslims are the same people who rioted in the United Nations. Someone should pull his nose and let him know that at the present moment, there
brother. Psalm 27.
We're going to read.
Psalm 27?
Yeah.
From 1 to where? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart say unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, as such as breathe out cruelty. I have fainted, unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I said on the Lord. Amen. I just read Psalm 27.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators, but we shall overcome. And I tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, We will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the brilliancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the
more integration and support.
forth the men and light love. That is in the Christian church. Oh, how tragic that is. Not a calling, that is. They tell me today I am a Christian among you who try to justify segregation on the basis of the Bible. They try to argue that the Negro is inferior by nature because the Lord's curse is on the children of Ham. Oh, my friend, all of them, this is blasphemy. This is against everything that the Christian religion stands for. This is against the will of the Almighty God. America, I would urge you to get rid of that something called segregation. It is a dangerous evil. It is an evil that will be wiped over the face of the earth if man is ever to come to his own. America, don't compromise with it. Don't play with it. Oh, I pray to the Supreme Court for passing a great decision just a year ago. I pray all men in your nation of goodwill who are willing to follow it. But they tell me you still have some brothers among you in Alabama, the Mississippi, in Georgia, in Louisiana, and Florida, who would make that legislative call ring loud to the word interposition and notification. They have lost the true meaning of democracy and Christianity. I would urge you to plead with your brothers for patience and understanding of goodwill and tell them that this isn't the way. May I say just the words to those of you who are struggling against this evil. Let me say to you who always struggle against it with Christian methods and with Christian weapons. Never succumb to the temptation of becoming bitter. Never succumb to the temptation of indulging in hate campaigns. You must at all moments, move with wise restraint and calm reasonableness. Keep pressing on, but press on with discipline and dignity, and use only the weapon of no action is so loaded to hate. Look at your oppressor hard enough to see in him something of godliness. Yes, it might be just a spark, but if you work on it long enough, it can develop into a reason. So I would say to those of you who are warring and struggling against your oppression, we use Christian methods and Christian weapons and let him know that as you struggle, you are not attempting to defeat him, not attempting to humiliate him, not attempting to get rid of him or to pay him back. Let him know that you are seeking to help him as well as yourself. Let him know that the festering sword of segregation debilitates the white man as well. Let him know that as it seeks to rid the earth of this evil of segregation, we're seeking to help him also.
Dr. King was devastated. Dr. King movement on this Monday night. We have to talk about the shooting in California. A young man had a hamburger. Police opened the door and shot him. Killed him. He's in hospital. We have to talk about the bridge of both. What's going on in Georgia? Here's a guy. If they don't care what it is they want him to vote for him. So we're going through a whole lot. I want you to stay focused. God's here and the divine here. There's a lot of evil witchcraft on, but you stay focused. God is something special for you. I want to tell you tonight. This is what I asked for. Write a letter. Some things you want. You got the number. The post office box 289097. Chicago, North Carolina. That was the last Bible. That was the last Bible for your job. So I want you to do that. I'm praying for those that are caught up. And I just heard today that they were sticking up the mailman. Even got so low, black on black crime, killing of the children, the raping of the children. That means that black needs to stand up and just stop this that's going on. I want to give you Dr. King.
must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists. Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor. The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counts. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages.
America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian emancipation
proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian civil rights bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own emancipation proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
What is the relationship between this and the reality of the Negro masses?
Well, to move Martin out of it for a moment. Martin's very rare, very great man. Martin's rare for two reasons. Part because just because he is. And because he's a real Christian. And he really believes.
Dr. King was a drum major of justice, and this country
have nobody talking about freedom for all people.
Now, I'm backing out this best friend that I have in the world. Delighted to see each of you here tonight, in spite of a storm warning. You reveal that you are determined to go on anyhow. Something's happening in Memphis, something is happening in our world. And you know, if I was standing at the beginning of time with the possibility of taking kind of general and panoramic view of the whole of human history up to now, and the Almighty said to me, Martin Luther King, which age would you like to live in? I would take my mental flight by Egypt. And I would watch God's children in their magnificent trek from the dark dungeons of Egypt through, traveled across the Red Sea, through the wilderness on toward the Promised Land. And in spite of its magnificence, I wouldn't stop there. I would move on by Greece and take my mind to Mount Olympus. I would see Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, Eurymedes, and Aristophanes assemble around the Parthenon. I would watch them around the Parthenon as they discuss great and eternal issues of reality, but I wouldn't stop there. I would go on even to the great heyday of the Roman Empire. And I would see developments around there through various emperors and leaders, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even come up to the day of the Renaissance. Get a quick picture of all that the Renaissance did for the cultural and aesthetic life of man, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even go by the way that the man to whom I'm named had his habitat. And I would watch Martin Luther as he tacked his 95 theses on the door at the Church of Wittenberg, but I wouldn't stop there. I would come on up even to 1863 and watch a fascinating president by the name of Abraham Lincoln finally come to the conclusion that he had to sign the Emancipation Proclamation, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even come up to the early 30s. See a man grappling with the problems of the bankruptcy of his nation. Come with an eloquent cry that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. But I wouldn't stop there. Strangely enough, I would turn to the Almighty and say, if you allow me to live just a few years in the second half of the 20th century, I will be happy. Now that's a strange statement to make because the world is all messed up. The nation is sick. Trouble is in the land. Confusion all around. That's a plain statement.
know somehow that only when it is dark enough can you see the star. I see God working in this period of the 20th century. A way that men in some strange way are responding. Something is happening in our world. The masses of people are rising up. Wherever they are assembled today, whether they're in Johannesburg, South Africa, Nairobi, Kenya, Accra, Ghana, New York City, Atlanta, Georgia, Jackson, Mississippi, or Memphis, Tennessee, the cry is always the same. We want to be free. Another reason that I'm having to live in this period is that we have been forced to a point where we're going to have to grapple with the problems that men have been trying to grapple with through history, but the demands didn't force them to do it. The Bible demands that we grapple with them. And for years now have been talking about war and peace. Now no longer can they just talk about it. It is no longer a choice between violence and non-violence in this world. Is non-violence or non-existent. That is where we are today. Also in the human rights revolution, something is done and done in a hurry to bring the colored people of the world out of their long years. Our long years of hurt and neglect, the whole world is doing. I've been happy that God has allowed me to live in this period, see what is unfolding. And I'm happy that he's allowed me to be in this. I can remember when Negroes were just going around, as Ralph has said, so often scratching where they didn't itch and laughing when they were not tickled. That day is all over. We mean business now, and we are determined to gain our rightful place in God's world. And that's all this whole thing is about. We aren't engaged in any negative protests and in any negative arguments with anybody. We are saying that we are determined to be men. We are determined to be people. We are saying, that we are God's children. And if we are God's children, we don't have to live like we are forced to live. Now, what does all of this mean in this great period of history? It means that we've got to stay together. We've got to stay together and maintain unity. You know, whenever Pharaoh wanted to prolong the period of slavery in Egypt, he had a favorite formula for doing. What was that? He kept the slaves fighting themselves. But whenever the slaves get together, something happens in Pharaoh's court, and he cannot Now let us maintain unity. Secondly, let us keep the issues where they are. The issue is injustice. The issue is the refusal of Memphis to be fair and honest in its dealings with its public servants who happen to be sanitation workers. Now we've got to keep attention on that. That's always the problem with a little violence. You know what happened the other day, and the press dealt only with the window breaking. I read the article. They very seldom got around to mentioning the fact that 1,300 sanitation workers are on strike, and that Memphis is not a mask, and that Mayor Loeb is in dire need of a doctor. They didn't get around to that. We're going to march again, and we've got to march again. In order, America is essentially a dream. It is the dream of a land where men of all the races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds can live together as brothers. The substance of the dream is expressed in these profound words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by natural resources with certain inalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty. One of the first things we notice in this dream is its amazing universalism. It does not say some men, but it says all men. Thank you.
must not seek to solve this problem merely to appeal to Asian and African people. This problem must be solved. involved in the United States because segregation and discrimination are morally wrong. Must be solved because segregation relegates persons to the status of things and stands against all of the noble principles of our Judeo-Christian heritage. It must be solved not merely because it is diplomatically expedient, but because it is morally compelling. This must be said all over. I would say there are some things that we must continue to do in order to make the American dream a reality, save our nation in this hour. I would like to mention them as briefly as possible, elaborate on them. First, in order to make the American dream a reality, we must seek to make the world dream a reality, and therefore we must begin with the world perspective. See, the world in which we live is geographically one. Now we are challenged to make it spiritually one. Now it is true that the geographical oneness of this age in which we live came into being to a large extent through man's scientific ingenuity. Man, through his scientific genius, has been able to cross distance and place time and change. Yes, we've been able to cross highways through the stratosphere. Our jet planes have compressed into minutes distances that once took days. Our book has described this new jet age in which we live, and I think it's given an adequate description. He said it is an age in which it is possible to take a non-stop flight from Los Angeles to New York, and if on taking off in Los Angeles, you develop hiccups, you hic in Los Angeles and poop in New York City. You know, it is possible because of the time difference to take a flight from Tokyo, Japan on Sunday morning and arrive in Seattle, Washington on the preceding Saturday night. And when your friends meet you at the airport and ask when you left Tokyo, you will have to say, I left tomorrow. This is the kind of world in which we live. This is a bit humorous, but I'm trying to laugh the basic fact in all of it, and it is simply this. Through our scientific genius, we've made of the world a neighborhood. Now, through our moral and ethical commitment, we must make of it a brotherhood. We must all learn to live together as brothers, or people all carry together as schools. It's simply